Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go.
There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Swinging Through Spider-Man. I'm James Rushton, that's Bradley Hughes. Each week we read a comic from the Amazing Spider-Man series in order, so it's chronological order from number one through to wherever we end up. And for the very first time, we aren't big on Spider-Man, so that's the whole experience. I think before we get into the show today, Brad, we can't really gloss over the fact that Stan Lee actually passed away the other day.
Yeah, it really is quite a somber episode. I gotta admit, it was a very, very weird hour for me, because I got home from work, looked at my notifications, and I learned two things within the space of looking at my phone. One, Stan Lee passed away, and two, there's a live action Pokemon movie coming out. So that was a bit of a juxtaposition.
Yeah, but all that stuff, I mean, all that, I don't want to say nerd or geek culture because it's quite mainstream now, but mainstream. All of that, it is like, I guess in a way, would that Pokemon film have been made without the characters of Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko, you know, with all these comic book creators? If they didn't hit the mainstream, would we appreciate Pokemon stuff like that? Would we appreciate manga in the Western world? I don't know, it's massive, and I think it's the closest thing, and it's the closest thing that some people have to like a god.
Fucking hell.
Genuinely, because look how much stuff he's in and does and how much influence he has.
Mate, he's a human meme.
Yeah, and like I said on the account, like, I know he passed away at 95, and dude, he was like, I don't know if he was creating to the end, but he was still signing off on stuff and making stuff. And he wasn't obviously as involved with projects as he was with Spider-Man and X-Men, Thor, Hulk, Black Panther, Dead, all that stuff. But he was still signing off on stuff.
Yeah, you got to admit, to be able to be 95 and still love your job, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I'm not too clued up on everything to do with Stan Lee and his involvement anymore, because I'm pretty sure he doesn't run Marvel Comics anymore, and he hasn't for a long time. But the influence he has on that in this entire world, and I know there was a few stories that come out, you know, towards the end, elder abuse.
I read a few stories from some of the listeners that he's personally touched in their life, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, he's been without his wife for a year, and she was 95 as well, and when she passed away, and in 95.
Don't you think it's quite strange that Stan Lee and Steve Ditko both passed away in the same year?
I don't know if they were similar ages. I think, Stat 95, he doesn't seem 95 at all.
Like you said, he seems immortal. I think that's the thing. It's just, everyone sort of says, oh, Stan Lee died, I'm gutted. He was 95. That's the way how the conversation's gone lately. But it kind of feels as though everyone had in the back of the head, I don't know, they just felt like he was going to live forever.
Yeah, I get that. But in a way he does, because everything he made is it's a beast.
Oh yeah,
it carries. It's an industrial beast. You know, these films make money.
Oh yeah,
these comics make money.
I got,
they mean a lot. So it's.
Yeah. I gotta admit that. Obviously, when I heard the news of Stan Lee, obviously, look, I know as much about Stan Lee as the next guy. And you know, growing up watching the cartoons, playing the games, you know, that sort of thing, I would have been upset anyway. But ever since we started reading these comics, ever since we started swinging for a Spider-Man, I think it got to me just a little bit more, because I feel like we're a little bit more connected to him through seeing, you know, his first inception, like one of his first ideas come to life.
Yeah, I think it obviously can't be verified, but he signed over 1 million comic books.
What a guy.
Something like that. So, man, I don't know, I don't know what to say anymore. I think
it's already been said.
Incredibly old man. Yeah, an incredibly old man, and we're not the experts, an incredibly old man. He passed away probably at the right age and left a massive legacy, and that continues. I mean, we're still reading. We've still got about 60 issues of Stanley written comics to get through before he passes it over. And I think we're gonna enjoy those even more now. I feel
like we just got to pour one out, say an Excelsior, and get on with it.
There we go, Excelsior. Pour one out. We continue today. Our journey continues today through the Stanley written comics, of course, with John Romita Sr. with the Amazing Spider-Man 45. This carries on from last time, Brad, where the Lizard came back, a Stanley creation and Steve Ditko creation,
if I'm not mistaken.
And the Lizard is the alter ego of Dr. Kurt Connors, but the Lizard isn't aware that he is Kurt Connors.
The Lizard only knows that he's the Lizard, and he wants to prove himself to be the strongest being. His idea of finding out whether or not if he is the strongest being was basically kicking 10 shades of shit out of Spider-Man in the public eye, breaking one of his arms in the process.
And the master plan, of course, is to populate the world with lizards.
We know about your plans. They've already got him in the White House.
I mean, if we judge from InfoWars and Alex Jones, he's already won. we start with Spider-Man, obviously injured. He sprained his arm last time. The Lizard chucked him off a building and he landed on his arm and it's sprained. So he can't really swing about.
I mean, he can, but he's kind of doing it one-armed, which I would love to see.
He's got a way around it now where he makes web bridges. I think that's explicitly said in the story later on, but he just makes like bridges now. He'll swing and do stuff, but he makes bridges. He builds bridges.
I feel like I want to unlock this in the PlayStation 4 game. I can think of numerous occasions this would be very handy.
Yeah, I mean, if you were like an 80-year-old Spider-Man, swinging might not be the thing. Just do the bridge. Walk across leisurely. But we start our story. He needs to stop the Lizard because the Lizard, Dr. Kurt Connors, is going to populate the world with a race of superhuman lizards. But he's injured. So to prove that he's still got the ability to do anything at all, he stops a quick crime. He jumps in.
Just a quick ego boost.
Yeah. No, it works. He wants to prove to himself that he can still work with one arm.
Do you reckon he's like a Super Saiyan and like whenever he gets a shit kicked out of him, he grows back stronger?
We have said this, but I don't think it's the case. I think he just goes home very depressed and with a headache.
Just pop some Norvan.
So he stops his quick crime and he's happy. He's like, I could stand toe to toe with the Lizard. I might not win, but I'm pretty confident in my ability to go out and find him and at least give it a good shot.
Meanwhile, his arm's literally flopping about back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Just held together by the skin.
Over across town, Martha Connors, this is the wife of Dr. Kurt Connors, she hears a scraping on the window. This is rough.
Let me in.
This is rough.
It's just a cat. Wow.
He's just pouring out the window like a cat. Like, you know, when I do it really rapidly. Yeah. She's terrified. She hides under the covers.
Yeah, I gotta admit, what I've started to notice a lot more in these new issues illustrated by John Romita Sr. is that he's very Roy Lichtenstein-esque.
He's very pop art, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very pop art. Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's... I get that. No, yeah, I get that. The colours pop as well, and there's a lot of shading. It's like there's only one or two or three colours used at a time, and they're all very prominent. Like, you know, when he's the Lizard sneak into the lab or the equipment's green. Like, yeah, Lizard green. Yeah, yeah. And it really works for me. That does, actually.
Yeah, I really like it. I find that the character's faces are way more expressive now as well.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It expresses a lot through the art. So credit to Ditko, of course. But I think...
oh, yeah, of course.
This bloke took the ball and ran with it.
No stopping him, man.
No, well done. I mean, this must have been hard to do. It's like you've come onto the most popular comic and you've got to do it. How? Even today, it would be easier. Then.
Do we know what was under John Romita's belt at this point in time?
I have no idea, but it's not going to be Spider-Man.
Oh, of course not.
It's not going to be Spider-Man. And he's done a really good job.
Bearing in mind, Spider-Man was popping at this point, wasn't it? It
popping.
Was like hotcakes off the shelves.
It was either popping or just about to pop. Yeah, very much just about to pop. But the lizard is stalking through his own old home. He doesn't remember it. Well, he does. He knows it's Kurt Connors, and he knows he needs Kurt Connors' research on reptiles to advance his own research. The trouble is, mate, the lizard can't fucking read. Well, to an extent he can, but he does not understand the equations or anything of substance.
Oh, I want to say something smart and witty here, but I think it just speaks for itself. like he breaks in, he's just like, slaps a book onto the table. He's like, yaha! What?
So you've got Martha Connors and Billy Connors hiding in their own house whilst the lizard stalks about desperately trying to read.
Do you reckon he reads like a fifth grader or something? He's just like, and...
Do you know Davos Seaworth on Game of Thrones? Yes. The Onion Knight has to get taught how to read. And, you know, I'm not dissing that. It's just, it's incredible. Incredible that he's had the audacity to break into, you know, the borderline research.
Like, there's a flaw to this plan.
How do you spell it's flaw?
Flaw.
He spells it F-L-O-O-R. It's the audacity of, he knows that he needs Kurt Connors' research, and Kurt Connors' research is on the edge, it's on the periphery of reptile biology, it's on the forefront, and he expects to know that, like, read the book and it just go into his head.
Reptile science for dummies.
He flips out and just starts slamming the books off it and goes, what fucking good is numbers to me?
Scientific gibberish!
Like, what fucking good? It's like Insane Clown Posse.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Fucking magnets, how do they work?
That's exactly what it is.
I feel the easiest way to defuse this situation is put him into like a trap from Saw, which requires you to do quick arithmetic to get out. Like simple adding, simple subtraction. Just rips his fucking jaw off or something at the end.
Just slap an abacus down in front of him.
It's just how... This is common though, because I know when people don't understand stuff, they tend to get very angry. Like, very quickly.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's angry, but it's more so defined as frustrated. But he goes, like, 0 to 100.
And he's trying to be fucking quiet as well.
Yeah, he's proper sneaking about, the gaff.
He's just reading, and I bet Kurt Connors, he's got one arm as well. And, you know, there's no keyboard, so this is fucking scribbles, mate.
He's just like holding down the page with his face.
But and it's equations that it's all over the place. He can't fucking read it, so he's just getting mad pissed that he can't understand anything. And it's just how he just slams up. He's like, it's no use. He said it's stupid scientific gibberish, like a fully grown lizard.
Fully grown lizard. You're saying that like a fully grown lizard isn't like a foot long.
Over at the Bugle, Fred Foswell is in a hurry. He wants to go and stalk Peter Parker, assuming through Peter he can get closer to Spider-Man, which is damn right. He just doesn't know.
Hasn't Peter like made the connection thus far to say like, oh yeah, I'm buddies with Spider-Man at this point? Is that true or not?
I don't think he has.
Okay,
but that will have to wait, because J. Jonah Jameson doesn't want him stumbling off anywhere. He wants his whole team on the case of the lizard. Who last issue he didn't fucking believe the lizard existed.
Yeah, literally didn't give two shits.
Now he's on it. Peter Parker, on the other hand, is completely done with being scared and his fears. Because the last issue, he didn't want to go outside just in case people linked him to Spider-Man, because they both had sprained arms.
Yeah,
sprained left arms, yeah.
Just sitting in a dark room, just sitting there. Weren't even reading a book or anything. He was just there like, aww.
Well, this, now he says, fuck it, I'm going out. I ain't letting this fucking hold me back.
I'm coming out. The world to know.
The problem is, he can't really get out. He has to use the bus because he can't ride his newly painted motorcycle and he can't really swing around.
Oh, you know, as he walks down the driveway, he looks back at his like nice shiny motorbike. He's just like, ah, he just has to like bite his lip and walk on.
That's pretty much exactly what he does. But at uni, at Empire State University, he's got the obvious excuse for his arm. He fell off the motorcycle.
Ah!
I'm pretty sure he'd have more fucking damage than a sprained arm. He's not wearing a helmet. There's no protector. He's in a suit. He's in his fucking linens.
Depends how fast he's going, man. Log we established that little hairdryer, there's no way it can get more than 30.
Falling off of the bike at 30 miles an hour, I'm pretty sure that would still leave a big mark.
To be fair, I've seen some horror stories, man, like geezers where the road just essentially turned into a gigantic cheese grater.
Yeah, I've seen people fall off at 10 and the ankle just snap. Or 5. You know, your bones aren't used to solid impact and speed, especially your skin, if it's in a suit. So, Pete, I don't know how they fall for that.
Mate, you know he can't afford, like, cotton either, and it's definitely polyester, so that shit, if that gets like rubbed on at like a little bit of force, it's
he's just
gonna
be
up
at the end of the road raw and naked. Worse, you know he's wearing his fucking Spider-Man suit underneath, so it's just gonna be a raw and naked Spider-Man. At uni he bumps into Harry Osborn. Harry Osborn gives Pete an invite to a party at Gwen Stacy's. Pete just gets pissed. He's like, why didn't Gwen fucking the audacity? She didn't invite me herself. And Harry's like, well, you haven't fucking been here.
That's probably the most grounded and down-to-earth thing that's ever been said in any of these comics. It's just like, I just imagine like Harry Osborn doing like an office moment where he looks directly in the camera as if to be like, the fuck?
Yeah, and Pete says, oh yeah, I've been with Mary Jane. And he's like, that's the fucking point. You've just been with Mary Jane or at home. You haven't been here, so I couldn't give you the invite and Gwen couldn't give it. So here's the invite. And Harry's like, ah, you know what, buddy? Since you're into science as well.
Bit of a detour.
Why don't you help out my dad, Norman, at Oscorp?
Is that a James? Was that a fucking thingy noise? Fucking Christopher Nolan.
No, that was me. Just saw it.
That feels like it should be a Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, Norman Osborn, Harry's dad, is the former Green Goblin. That is no. That's a no-no.
Bag.
Still, it's a big fucking opportunity.
Bag O'Cans science.
Pete says he'll have to think about it, and that is a loaded answer. As Spider-Man, Pete searches the city for the lizard, and I'm pretty sure he's outside your house. And he searches the zoo, mate.
Let me in. I would very much like to eat some cheese.
He doesn't eat cheese. He eats fucking salt and pepper locusts.
Not going to lie, that sounds good.
Pete searches the zoo, obviously, but he's nowhere to be seen. But at the zoo, he notices that there's a reptile exhibit taking place in Philadelphia, down the road-ish. Still fucking miles away, but I guess that's as close as down the road is going to be between cities in America.
I suppose if you're Spider-Man, you don't have to worry about catching a train. You can just jump on said train. Literally on it.
He catches a train to Philadelphia.
Oh, no way. What a guess.
And the lizard is in the train yard in Philadelphia.
Well, that is very convenient.
Because all the reptiles are there.
Oh.
That's where they've been transported for.
Oh, okay. So the reptiles are still in the train yard. Okay.
In the Philadelphia train yard, Spider-Man instantly finds the lizard and instantly assaults him.
It's not even like he's got like the element of surprise, because like lizard turned around, he's like, Spider-Man! And then Spider-Man is literally like one arm tied to his chest inwards, the other arm just straight into the geezer's gut. Just Supermaning.
He's got him on the floor, just whacking him with his fist, saying, I can't give up, because if I give up, I'm dead. So I've got to like, I've got to kill him.
Oh, shit.
Nah, he doesn't say you've got to kill him, but that's the consequence of you hammering on someone's head. Is they might
die. I suppose he's not using that limp arm, man. Just could you imagine the sheer force of that?
Oh.
Like, just dead weight
on his head,
like being hit with a fucking steel baseball bat.
They fight to what seems like the death. They got in at each other and they're taking heavy hits from each other. But the lizard actually picks Spidey and just fucking chucks him off the floor, which gives him the space to set a train full of crocodiles and snakes.
What? Why has it got to be the crocodiles and snakes one? Like, could you imagine? Imagine if he opened the wrong one and just a bunch of iguanas come out. Like, meh.
This, I'm pretty sure this is like the plot to every fucking Coco Pops advert.
yes, it is.
Where Coco the monkey has to defeat the lizard to get the chocolatey milk goodness.
Because I'd rather have a bowl of Coco Pops.
And the lizard can communicate, obviously, with the reptiles. So he says, yeah, we're not going to be safe until Spider-Man's dead. So attack him. We can bring him down. I don't think the reptiles care. They just want to eat.
That makes sense.
But this should be established science at this point that reptiles don't have that capacity.
No, they eat like once in a while, don't they? It's like one meal per week or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't have the capacity for leadership or emotion or stuff like that. So they should be chowing nomming on the lizard as well. But it's pretty...
Can lizards form packs?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they're just kind of... They're there together.
You know who would know?
The lizard.
Kurt Connors. Kurt Connors would know.
The scene cuts to Mary Jane Watson. You know, not killing the action or anything. But there's a few hard cuts that are coming up that are quite funny. And especially the one after this. So Mary Jane... he's speaking to her aunt. She's saying, oh, I really like Pete. He's a bit of a fucking dork, but yeah, he's sound. They actually go on to knock onto Pete's door to invite him out while Mary Jane does. But he's not around, of course, because he's in fucking Philadelphia getting bit by snakes.
Hold on, wait. In the last issue, Mary Jane phoned up Pete and says, oh, do you want to come out? And Pete was like, oh, I'm kind of busy. And Mary Jane just dropped him like a sack of spuds. She didn't even give a shit. She's just like, well, you're lost. Bye.
Doesn't mean she doesn't like him, though. Which means that she ain't gonna be held back.
Yeah, but that's still cold.
Held back. She knocks on Pete's door. He's not around because he's in Philadelphia. He's in Philadelphia.
Born and raised.
Back at the train yard, he's throwing snakes in the sky to try and stay alive. He's just like picking them up and launching them. Picking them up and throwing them.
To be fair, how else are you going to be? You know, how else are you going to fight a snake?
Do you know the crocodile's mouth? He webs it shut.
You know, props to him. I'm still seeing like a lot of like thought put into this fight. This makes a lot of sense.
Because he can't web the other crocodile, he gets a snake, he's holding onto the snake like a lasso, and gets a crocodile with him and pulls the crocodile closer with the snake.
Clearly been watching too much Indiana Jones, man.
Then he picks up the fucking crocodile.
he's upgrading his weapons, mate. That's what he's doing.
Then he starts beating up all the snakes and crocodiles with the crocodile. He's picked up. Can you see that?
That's incredible. It's so good.
Imagine if that fucking snake broke in half.
Could you? The crocodile is just there, like speaking to its friends, like, Frank, I'm sorry. I can't help it.
I wish we were still eating fucking gazelles next to the edge of the lake.
Dave, it's okay. You know what you do.
We'll be back to the watering hole soon enough. Don't you worry, Frank.
Up to that watering hole in the sky, son.
He fucking smacks the shit out of him. Well, the lizard... The train starts moving. The lizard jumps on it, thinking, you know what? I've got to get away. This is not happening. But Spidey's not caught out. Spidey jumps onto the train and uses his mobility to get the drop on the lizard. The lizard's not fucking having any of this, but Spider-Man's far too quick for him and gives that big drop kick to his head.
Yeah, it's a massive drop kick that is, man. That's like a Rey Mysterio 619.
The lizard's getting pretty pissed off because... He's pretty mobile, but I think stationary. He's quite a stationary fighter. when it comes to this actual scrap, he's quite big and bulky.
Yeah, yeah.
He picks up a bit of the train roof to batter Spider-Man with. Spider-Man's just too fast. Spider-Man's over the fucking side everywhere. He hides from the lizard in a train car and lures him into the train car whilst the train's moving.
Okay.
The dark train car. The lizard follows in and closes the fucking door. It's in the pitch black and they're fighting and Spider-Man's on the back foot here. It's really contained. He's in the back foot. The lizard fucking collapses when Spider-Man's on the ropes. The battle of wits has been won by Spider-Man, who has trapped the fucking lizard in a train refrigerator.
Oh, man. Big old Iceland sticker on the back of it.
Incredible.
Oh, that's fucking brilliant. This is not the first time that Spider-Man has trapped a villain in a room, which, you know, is their downfall.
So this is exchange where the lizard's kind of going at Spider-Man with the Frankenstein hands outstretched. Like, what's happening to me? I'm getting weaker. I'm gonna fucking kill you while I got the chance. Spider-Man's like, yeah, I don't think so. This is a fridge, mate. And the lizard's just on the ground. He's like, well, you know, the thing about lizards is they can't flourish. They can only flourish in warm temperatures. But yeah, extreme cold. Oh, he's asleep. That's it.
Oh, I'm so disappointed that Spider-Man's not just like, it's ice to meet you.
It's all good until Spider-Man finds out he's locked in there as well. Thankfully he wasn't, but imagine if they'd both locked themselves in there and he died as well.
It wouldn't be hilarious, because then like the tables would turn and Spider-Man would have to eat like Kurt Connors, a friend, which is also now the lizard, like Fallout style, like crispy rad roach.
Oh, disgusting.
Iguana on a big fucking stick.
Pretty much what happens, he has to web the lizard up into like this nice webbed package.
Oh my god, it's becoming true. That's what spiders do to like insects that are caught in the web.
Because obviously no one can see the lizard. He rings the alarm on the train, like, stop the fucking train, tells the security guards, he's like, yeah, this is a fucking lizard. We need to get this shit back to New York, otherwise, you know, people are going to die. Well, he's going to die.
Could be fucking anything in there. Could be literally anything.
That is a very crocodile-shaped package. What you got in there, a crocodile? Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Like Jeffrey Dahmer. The fucking with the rug.
Yeah. Imagine if he rolled the lizard up in a fucking rug.
That'd be bad, because then it would keep him warm.
Oh, yeah. So he has to get back to Kurt Connors' lab. He gets the train security to flag down a train going the other way to New York, jumps on that, gets to Kurt Connors' lab and locks the fucking door and gets to work. He locks the door because he can't have the family see this. He doesn't want them to know.
Yeah, that'd be disturbing as fuck.
Martha kind of knows that he's a fucking lizard, but they don't want to see that.
They do already know about it, don't they? Because he attacked them when he first became...
Yeah, he was stalking around the house today, but I guess... He doesn't.
No,
want...
no. I'm talking about like back in Florida.
Oh, way back.
Way back when.
I guess so. I'm not too sure. I can't remember. I honestly.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
Yes, because no, I do remember it, because last issue, Spider-Man walked up to Martha and was like, "Oh, how you doing? What's going on?" And she was like, "Oh, you cured Kurt, didn't you?" So she knows he's the lizard.
Oh, yeah, but they don't want to see it again. Once was enough.
They just think he's cured.
They can make the assumption, but they just don't want to see that shit. He doesn't want him to see that shit again, especially if he's fucking dying.
Oh.
He's like on the edge. So he's not only got to heal the lizard and Kurt Connors, he's got to restore Kurt Connors. And if he heals the lizard accidentally, there's going to be another scrap.
That's a good point.
Thankfully, his knowledge of biology is pretty good, so he manages to restore Kurt Connors.
Man, he matched up all those stripes. That's what he did.
I like how Kurt Connors is like naturally restored. Like, he comes straight back into his human form. There's no like scaly skin.
What's going on?
Yeah, that's it. It's like, what's all this?
Hey, Spider-Man, what's happening? I thought I was in a train station.
The Happy Family is reunited, and there's this incredibly odd panel where they've left all the speech bubbles blank for you to
fill in. You know why? It's like, you know, when you're watching like the roundup on the news, and it's like, and like the camera's panning out. Meanwhile, the anchor's just talking amongst themselves, but you can't really hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Yeah, they're like saying, I wish you wouldn't. I know he healed you, Kurt, but I mean, breaking into our house with you over his back, I mean, just knock the door.
You know what? We should put this on the Twitter and let the geezers decide what's said. Fill in these speech bubbles. I like that.
That's a fantastic idea. By the time this episode comes out, we'll put that on the feed for you. And please,
fill in the blanks.
Please do some fucking damage.
Do it.
Of course, be respectful that this is Stan Lee's comic.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so be very respectful of that thought. But do some damage. Please do some damage. So Spider-Man heads off into the night with the Happy Family. They wave him off. But he's battered. He's injured. He can't really swing anymore. So he goes into an alleyway to change his clothes and walks home. A car beeps at him. And he's got his head down. It beeps again. He looks up. It's Harry Osborne in there. With Mary Jane Watson.
Ooh, I see where this is going.
They're going to the disco. They invite Pete along, but he says, no, I don't want to go.
Wait, hold on. Mary Jane and Harry Osborn are together in this car. I'm pretty sure they've only met once. They've literally only met once, haven't they?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, there's a lot going on in their lives. They might. Harry Osborn's quite well-to-do. And he's on the scene. So she'll definitely know of him.
No, I guess so.
And I mean, it wouldn't be ridiculous to think that they've met at least a few times after the first. They met the first time in the last issue.
God.
But how much time has passed since then, I don't know. At least a few days. So it's moved pretty
fast.
I half
expected you to say at least a few dads then.
No, Pete refuses. And then he gets really pissed off. He's like, oh, she's fucking shallow. She's about as shallow as she looks.
Pete.
And I was like, this is on you, dickhead. How many dates have you turned down?
Literally, you've been playing hard to get all this time. You finally meet her and you're like, oh, boy, golly, what a smashing chick. Oh, man. And then she calls you up twice since and you've blown her off both times.
And what, Harry can drive her around places, you know, stuff, you know. Is it? I mean, I'm pretty certain that Mary Jane's not Harry's girlfriend. I'm pretty sure they're just going out together in that sense that they're literally going out, where they're not
they're taking it steady, but they're not exclusive.
Well, they're just literally going out, like out on the town. That's what I mean, not in a relationship sense. And he just fucking jumps to all the conclusions. He could be right, but fuck him.
To be fair, mate, if she wants to do that, that's up to her.
Yeah, and Pete ain't got no fucking leg to stand on.
Not a one. His legs should be like his arm, sprained.
He walks home, and he decides, I've got to rest up, and this shit is getting fucking up to my nerves. I didn't even take a picture of the bastard lizard. I've got to wait till Aunt May comes home. There's my fucking studies. And also, that job I've had to turn down with Harry's dad, because not only is the Green Goblin, it wouldn't even matter if I wasn't fucking Spider-Man. It wouldn't matter. I'm just too busy being Spider-Man.
It's coming up to that classic crisis where Spider-Man's getting in the way of my real life. Do I really want to be Spider-Man?
This has got a twist, because he goes home and he's pissed. He's like, fuck this. Why can I never give this up? Have I got a lust for power? Can I not give this up?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. A lust for power. No, you can't give it.
That's the last we see of him, but we head over to the Connors family, and they're just thinking, how can we ever repay Spider-Man for all he's done for us? And they realise they can't. He's so powerful and everything must be going right for him. He must have it all. Fucking hell. If only they knew.
If only.
And that's the end of that one. If only they knew, right?
If only they knew. But this does go to show sometimes you don't understand what's going on behind the metaphorical mask.
You definitely never understand what's going on. I believe there was a quote where, I mean, you should only like judge your neighbor if you're judging how little they have, so you can like help them just to see if they've got enough to get by. Like, never judging jealousy, stuff like that. I don't know where that's from. Probably a religion, I don't know.
I do quite like that.
Yeah, you should only like ever like look at your neighbor if you're looking to see if they've got enough, and not if you're like not in jealousy, something like that. I don't know how it actually goes. It's definitely to see if they've got enough to get by, rather than have they got too much, something like that. Which is pretty cool. And no, they don't give a fuck. They're just like assuming. They're like, oh yeah, he must be good.
I do actually feel sorry for Pete in a way.
I do,
because he never asked for this. Obviously,
you have to be Spider-Man.
This is something that we've touched upon many a times. He's not being Spider-Man out of some sort of self-righteous predisposition to do good. He's not. It is literally. It's a thrill for him. I mean, he's even said it himself in these couple of panels. He's like, I can't do this stuff because Spider-Man is just too much a bigger part of my life now.
Yeah, like, and he's questioning if he's got a lust for power, and that's quite true-ish.
Oh, it's very true.
I mean, if your average weekend is you picking up fucking crocodiles by the tail and whacking other crocodiles with the crocodile you're holding, yeah, that's a thrill.
Well, you're clearly having some very weak weekends, mate.
This episode is sponsored by PETA.
Like, I'm very upset that he didn't like take two snakes, tie them together, and started like nunchucking them. Like, what?
Yeah, I'm upset that when the lizard took that little break from beating up on Spider-Man, I wish that Spider-Man put snakes around his belt and just had but one in each hand ready to beat the fucking lizard up.
So good.
But he got his own back and froze him half to death, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, Kurt's not doing too bad considering he's just been cryogenically frozen, turned into a lizard.
Imagine if he shook Spider-Man's hand and his fucking hand broke off.
Fucking hell.
He's overrun.
Martha, I don't mean to alarm you, but I think I may now be infertile.
Disposed. Nope, he's Kurt Connors. He's he looks good and ready to kind of get back to doing what he does best, which is earning no money and helping Spider-Man occasionally.
What he does best.
And then getting mad and turning into the lizard, which will eventually probably happen again, I guess. I'm not sure what happens next episode, mate, so I'm not going to throw forward anything.
I do like how sad and solemn and like horrible Peter's like last three panels on this is. Like, Peter is genuinely pissed. He's thrown a Spider-Man costume out in anger. The next panel is just him completely blacked out in the dark, just really in deep thought about whether or not if Spider-Man has become a big thing. And then it's like juxtaposition with Kurt Connors and his family, like happy Spider-Man's such a nice guy. And then it's like the very next thing is like, next, Peter Parker's pad, and it's like in like big happy letters.
Well, you have to assume that something good will be happening for Peter soon enough, because I mean, it's been on the downer for a while. I mean,
yeah, Pete's life is literally a roller coaster.
There has been no good that's really happened since he got his motorbike, and that was a few issues ago. That was at least three or four.
Yeah, he had it too good for a little while.
Yeah, it went really well, and now it's went to shit again. But no, he did the right thing. He froze the lizard half to death, and that's it. That's the end, mate. That's done.
That's that issue out of the way.
Any homework or something?
Nah, you know where to find us.
Yeah, it's pointless even mentioning it at this point, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, I guess.
Spidey Podcast.
You can always visit our label, the outpost.fm.
Yeah, if you like our accents, you'll probably like the other podcasts on there, so give it a whirl. Yeah, that's about it, man. You can find us at Spidey Podcast on Twitter. And we always love hearing back off you. So whatever you've got to say, please say it. You can direct message us if you don't want to say it publicly. I know a few of you have, so thank you very much for that. But yeah, always reach out to us. We're very happy to hear from you. We got a new review today.
Oh,
Someone give us a few stars on I don't know what, but they gave us a review and said, "I wish you'd upload more." And unfortunately, life does get in the way.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult to read a comic a few times, write about the comic, get together, and spend an hour or so. So it takes about 3 or 4 hours a week, kind of pre-planned, outside, external. So it's outside of your schedule to kind of make one episode. We used to do two, and I don't know how we managed that. I think we must have skimmed over so much stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, each episode is like 30 minutes. Now they're pushing. Like,
yeah, so I prefer this, man, and I hope you guys too. I do prefer a bit of a deeper dive, which is what we're trying to do at the moment. But yeah, thank you very much for leaving the review. I appreciate that you like the podcast so much that you'd want more. But yeah, we try and stick to one a week and see how it goes. Hopefully soon it might change, but who knows?
Who knows? Yes, check out our Twitter as well. Make sure you comment on that clip and tell us what Kurt Connor's family is saying to Spider-Man as he swings off into the night.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to see some of those. But yeah, that's it. Next week, I guess Peter Parker's pad. What's that all about? I'm not sure. Kicking Aunt May out, maybe.
One last Excelsior before we go.
Yeah, rest in peace, Stan Lee. Thank you for everything, I guess. Loads of stuff that you've brought to us, including the amazing Spider-Man and much more. And yeah, I guess we'll sign off for the final time with an Excelsior.
Excelsior.
Excelsior. Goodbye.